Center for Action and Contemplation presents a homily by Father Richard Rohr.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel is written to us by Matthew. If you're following along in the Missalette, you notice that there's a longer form and a shorter form. I'm going to read the shorter form first, then I'll add the later part. And you'll realize perhaps why they did this, because frankly, the longer form seems to contradict the shorter form. But stay with me. Jesus again in reply spoke to the chief priests and the elders of the people. And he said, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests to the feast, but they refused to come. A second time, he sent another servant, saying, 'Tell those invited, behold, I have prepared my banquet. My calves and fattened cattle are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the feast.' Some ignored the invitation and went away, one to his farm, another to his business. The rest laid hold of his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged, and he sent his troops. He destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy to come. So go out, therefore, into the main roads and invite to the feast whomever you find.' The servants went out into the streets and gathered all they found, good and bad alike. And the hall was filled with guests. This is good news from the Lord." Okay, get ready for a little scripture study. Now, I hope you were listening to the first reading. That was from Isaiah. And that gives away, really, the correct interpretation of this gospel, long form or short form. And there, perhaps, I hope you were listening, you probably didn't notice, however, the word "all" and "everyone" was used 5 or 6 times. And Isaiah is telling the Jewish people that this great banquet that their religion symbolizes is not just for them. It's for everybody. And that seems to be the crisis that every group goes through. First of all, just like we Catholics, we thought God just loved us, right? And we have God in our own little temple, our own little church, but of course God isn't in the Methodist church or the Lutheran church. It's very convenient thinking. It doesn't have anything to do with the truth or the gospel, but that's how most people start. They circle the wagons around their little group. And we're going to see that when this theme is repeated, as we just heard it in the gospel, where he sends the steward out to invite everybody to the banquet, good and bad alike, well, there's some people upset. I guess you'd call them the conservatives. So I'm going to read the longer version that most scholars believe got tacked on because it doesn't follow, it doesn't fit. We're not sure if Matthew put it there or whoever put it there. But let's read the last 10 unfortunate verses. Most of us who are preachers dread this Sunday because there's no way out of this problem, seemingly. "When the king came in to meet the guests, he saw a man there not dressed in a wedding garment." Now, we're not sure what a wedding garment is, why you all had to wear the same clothes. "But at any rate, the king said to him, 'My friend, how is it that you came in here without a wedding garment?' But he was reduced to silence. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hands and feet and cast him into the darkness outside.'" Seems like a rather uninviting host, doesn't it? Huh? Someone doesn't wear the right clothes, you kick him out of your party. You know? "And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth Oh, some people just love passages like this. They love to find out somebody's excluded. That's early stage religion. It bases itself not on what it is, but what it isn't. And it always tries to decide who are the unworthy people, and we can base it on race or nationality or gender or sexual orientation. Every group finds out who is unworthy to come to the banquet. And then we sit there smugly enjoying the banquet for our select little country club. And then the final line, I remember asking a priest this when I was a little boy. Many are called, but few are chosen. I said, what does that mean? I can't remember the answer he gave me, but I still don't understand it. If we're all invited, we're all invited, you know? So at any rate, you see why, first of all, it takes some study, and I hope this encourages you to do that, to read the scriptures in an intelligent and spiritual way. Now, frankly, and you know this, most Catholics never bothered, right? We just found it a little too difficult to understand, so most Catholics don't read the Bible, and you know that's true. The Protestants put us to shame. They study the scriptures 10 times more than most Catholics do. And that has not served us well, because very often we can end up leaving after a gospel like this is read and think we're justified in being violent or justified in being exclusionary. But I want you to note the very first line I read, who he is speaking this to. Jesus spoke to the chief priests and the elders. So this is addressed to the big shots, the guys in charge, huh? Now, for some reason, we guys in charge always like to create our own little group that follows us faithfully and exclude those who are in any way unfaithful. So that's the group he's aiming this message at. And the best interpretation I can give of these last verses that seem to be so violent and unkind and certainly don't represent the way that Jesus thought, is that they're meant to be satirical, a satire. He's telling these guys, you keep going the direction you're going, and this is how you're going to end up. Being violent and exclusionary and spending all your time deciding who's in and who's out. I met a holy old brother this week, and he said, you know, it took me all my life to realize that most things are none of my business. Took me my whole life to realize that most things are none of my business. But you know, in the middle of life, we spend an awful lot of time making everything our business, deciding who's worthy and who's unworthy, who's going to heaven and who's going to hell, who's right and who's wrong, who's in and who's out, who's up and who's down. Brothers and sisters, that's none of your business. That's God's business. Your only job is to keep growing up yourself and to accept this universal invitation that is offered to the holy mountain of God to all people. All. Hindus, Buddhists, Jews, Muslims, Protestants, and even sometimes Catholics. But a lot of us Catholics didn't feel like we had to go to the wedding feast because we were already there, of course. No, you don't get there without positively, choicefully, deliberately responding to the invitation, saying, I want to be a part of the universal banquet, the banquet for all of God's people. God is not in love with just a few. Either God is in love with all of God's creatures, or I would doubt that God loves any of God's creatures. And you are those lucky ones who know that.
This homily by Father Richard Rohr is copyright by the Center for Action and Contemplation. Visit cac.org for other educational resources and programs.